Tonight, we're going to... Can you go down one slide, please? Our quote for the night, and you're going to hear a lot about this, is that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which is taken right from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Let's go. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about famous military speeches, a little bit on Douglas MacArthur. We're going to touch on just dispatching the Eastern tribes and then focus down in Joshua's farewell, remembering what the Lord has done, our decision, a decision within the decision we're going to talk about, and the last thing we're going to hit is why this is all important. So everybody knows, or everybody should know, who Douglas MacArthur was. And it is in his address at West Point in May of 1962, which was considered his farewell address, he proclaimed duty, honor, and country, and referenced the long gray line that has never failed us. If you were to do so, a million ghosts in olive drab and brown khaki in blue and gray would rise up from their white crosses, thundering the magic words, duty, honor, country. Furthermore in the speech, and I want you to listen for some of the phrases, we're going to hit them in the end, he talks about the highest moral laws, the uplift of mankind, things that are right, the greatest act of religious training, sacrifice, that only the divine, which alone could sustain them, and the noblest development of mankind. So I'm going to read this part of the speech to you. The code whose words permeate embraces the highest moral laws and will stand the test of any ethics and philosophies ever promulgated for the uplift of mankind. Its requirements are for the things that are right, and its restraints are from the things that are wrong. The soldier, above all men, is required to practice the greatest act of religious training, sacrifice. In battle and in the face of danger and death, he discloses those divine attributes which his Maker gave him when he created man in his own image. No physical courage and no brute instinct can take the place of the divine help which alone can sustain him. However horrible the incidents of war may be, the soldier who is called upon to offer and give up his life for his country is the noblest development of mankind. MacArthur gave a great stirring speech in May of 62, as we talked about. And these speeches focus on a life of service and his focus. He's trying to give advice to the men he's leaving behind to stir their souls. This outline was established centuries before by Joshua in his final farewell to arms that we study here tonight. You know, to stir man's souls is another word for to move their heart. Joshua wanted his men's hearts when he gave this talk. Religion says, change your ways, but Christ says, change your heart. Does Christ have your heart? As we go through the talk tonight, at the end of every lesson, we're going to repeat the verse. I want you guys to help me say it over again. And let's say this bottom line in the thing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants your heart. Next slide, please. So Joshua is dispatching the eastern tribes. They fought for 7 years, and now they're going back to their families. Four things struck me about this, that he commended them. He discharged them to rest or peace. He admonished them, and he blessed them. I think it's really important that this is a great lesson that we can use in leading our families and the people who are in our spheres of influence. We need to be commending the people around us, our children, our grandchildren, our our friends, our colleagues at work, when they do something good, words of encouragement go a long, long way. I've been burdened on my heart to give people encouraging words a lot when I see them, and I know that, maybe things aren't going the way they should go. As Christian men, we got to have our antenna up to actually give people words of encouragement. It goes a long, long way. And that's really important. And then after a good job, rest. This is the Sabbath rest, you know, the rest one day a week. But it's also the peace in knowing that Jesus, God, has got our back. How many times in the Bible does he talk about fear not? Fear not, because I got it. I'm under control. I have to admit, I was guilty. I used to work weekends, right? And my business, I bought it in 2009, and I was working like a dog 2009, 2010, 2011, and some of 2012. And then I started practicing what I preach up here. I rested on weekends. I don't work weekends anymore, and my business has taken off. Because the way I look at it is, if I'm doing, like, preparing for this speech this week, I just say a prayer. God, thank you so much for this opportunity to be your hands and feet here on earth. You got more over, and I know you do a better job than that, and I'll do this for now. And it's been fantastic. But it's this peace in knowing that whatever happens, even the really tough stuff, that God is behind us. And I think this is a great lesson that we can provide our loved ones. You know, we encourage them. We discharge them and say, rest. Now, good job. Well done. Take it easy. Rest in him. Rest in his peace. Know that he's got all the things that control your life. But also, once in a while, we have to admonish them, right? I mean, how many of them don't have children that you don't have to once in a while, got a son, you got to give him a little tap upside the head and, you know, put him back in line, or a comment to your daughter or other loved one that this needs to be. And this is our job as leaders. God calls upon you to lead your family. It's our responsibility. And so I thought when I was reading this that this was a fantastic lesson for us, that even though he's discharging the troops to go back across the river, he's talking to us. He's got us on his mind. And the best thing is, bless them. You know, I mean, the most last thing in the list is bless them. And I think bless them was the most important thing. You know, let me thank God for you. You know, I tell your loved ones you thank God for them, that they're in your life. This is great stuff. So let's repeat this last line together. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Use Jesus as an example for people in your sphere of influence. Thank you. We got more of that to come. You guys are doing good. I picked this up from Joe last week when he had you repeat stuff. I think it keeps you guys awake, so I'm going to continue to use it. All right. So we continue, and Joshua starts, and he wants to remind Israel that God chose them, God delivered them, God guided them, God gave them their land. So he's talking to them about, remember everything the Lord has done for you. And in nine instances, they set up stones, right, in the middle of the Jordan, on the West Bank. They're all there. I can send these out to the leaders if you want to get them. But the last one was the one we just got in the last chapter, the stones of witness for the eastern tribes. So nine times. Next screen, please. So one of the things that I got to ask you guys are, this also applies to our lives. You know, we don't build storm memorials anymore. I don't have five stones in the backyard of my house to commemorate something. But we have events in our lives that we celebrate. You know, people coming to Christ, baptism, marriages, funerals. We should also remember the trials that God put us through as he carried us through. I don't think everybody that was in this class last year knows how fervent when we prayed for our brother Lee and his bout with cancer, and he comes through, and he's here. Here is he? There he is. I mean, I'll never forget God's faithfulness, and I'm sure your children will never forget it. Those are important things. I talked previously about the firm I bought. At the last minute, somebody was trying to steal it. I had put, $100,000 in that I wasn't going to get back into buying the firm and due diligence. I'd spent 6 months. It's about to be stolen from me, and the guy's calling me up to tell me it, and I know it. And I sat there for 15 minutes, and I said a prayer, and I said, God, let your will be done. You know, let me be gracious and not angry, and let me, you know, just help me, Lord. Just put it at his feet. So the guy called, and I was completely gracious. I said, I understand if you have to take a cash offer that you think is more valuable than what I'm putting on the table. And he said, you're not yelling at me. He goes, I've done this hundreds of times, and every time somebody's yelled at me. And I said, doesn't matter. He says, can I at least reimburse the money? And I said, no, doesn't matter either. Do what you want to do. We're big guys. We made the bet. We'll see what went on. And it was that graciousness that the guy told me afterwards helped me push the board towards me because he reported about how the call went. So God came through. So that's a point in my life that I share with my children. And so what are the things you guys do? You know, what you establish something where you can remember God's graces, God's love, God's goodness in your families. So we do prayer huddles like, I don't know, when the kids were in high school and stuff and they were going off to exams, I would wait, not go to work early and be there, and we do a little huddle, pray for the exam, or pray for a trip if they're going away on a trip, or important things that were happening in their lives. That is extended today that we get prayer requests on text. So the whole family's on a group text, and they text stuff in. Here's the prayer request. And we send them stuff. And so it creates a tradition. So try and find places where you can share what God has done for you and your family with them and remember it. Because that's basically what these nine rocks were. This is how we crossed the Jordan. This is how we did that. So what are the events you want to memorialize in your life? I think maybe when you get some quiet time in the next few days, try and remember God's graciousness and goodness. I think I'm not very good at this. But I know people that write these down in a book and then later on go back and say, yeah, God answered that prayer, God answered that prayer, God answered that prayer. I'm not that disciplined, but I do have a few of these things, and I would like you to consider establishing these as well. I think this is a great quote in Deuteronomy that I'll read to you. Because think about it, and this is talking to us today, even though it's an Old Testament. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart. Uh-oh, heart. We just talked about heart in the military farewell stuff, didn't we? There it is again. As long as you live, teach them to your children and to their children after them. So what a great thing. And he's talking to us today. And the things Joshua was asking them to remember apply to us today. So let's read again. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember what Jesus has done for you. Great. Next slide, please. Okay. I'm going to get my notes. So the first thing he says to his army, which is kind of, like, this whole thing is kind of incredible to me. I get kind of indignant when I read this. I mean, all right, so these are the same people who are virtually one generation away from being out of Egypt, right? These are the same guys that were fighting battles and God sent hailstones down on the enemy. These are the guys that marched around Jericho, right? They marched around Jericho. They saw the walls tumble. They massacred all the people. Yet, their leader has to remember them or ask them to serve their God. It's incredible. Let's read what he says. He says, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but for me and my household will serve the Lord. I get frustrated because I don't really understand it. But then I think about our lives today, right? And I think about, you know, we all have idols in our lives that we end up serving and we don't even realize it. It's not the same thing. We're not bowing down to burn incest in front of Baal or somebody like that. But I'm going to show you a video in a second that Lee shared with me that talks about our idols. And I think it's going to strike a chord with you. But before I read it, I just want to remind you about Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one or love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both. So let's watch the video. It's like 4 minutes long. You're going to love it.
People triumph in the fact that slavery is dead, but last time I checked, it just changed clothes instead. And so casinos, malls, strip clubs, looking like modern day temples, acting like we self-sufficient, so we make ourselves central. But we're slaves to things, possessions, and screens, slaves to money, which is why no one lives within their means. Broken, hopeless, spiritually homeless, but we keep going on with our lives as if no one seems to notice. How well is that working for you? You satisfied, bro? You got joy? How does it feel chasing stuff that's always a little faster than you? How come the image you used to stare at years ago doesn't even register anymore? I mean, the biggest lie in the world is I'll be satisfied if I just have a little more. So we're addicted to sex. We're addicted to power. We call ourselves men, but really, we're just cowards. Because the apple looks sweet, but then it turns sour. How come every time we buy into an idol, we're the ones that get devoured? I mean, you say you're not a slave, but here's something to chew. You ever wondered why pixels of naked girls got so much power over you? But here's a question. What if kids acted realistic about what they wanted to be when they grow up? So at birth, they show up and say, hey, mom, at age 11, I want to become a slave. I want to make porn my slave master and then die in that grave. And by 16, I want to be so wrapped up in what others say about me in school that I'll do anything if just once they'll tell me that I'm cool. And by college, I want to worship at the altar of sex, not care about treating a girl right, just caring about what girl is next. And then I'll graduate, get married, and get a job and start to save. Treat my job like my wife and treat my wife like my slave. And then have some pretty trophy kids and live in pretty trophy bliss. But make sure my kids know that if SportsCenter comes on, they need to quickly split. Because those guys throwing the football with eye black on their skin, yeah, my whole week depends on if they win. Comfort, power, sex, alcohol, religion, pleasure, all good things unless turned into an ultimate thing. Because the problem isn't what you do, it's that your heart needs to be made new. Because if you don't crush your idols, then your idols will crush you. You know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results? And by that definition, most of us are insane. Because we run to the same filth, even though it hurt us yesterday, and say, come on, please, satisfy me today. And Jesus said, you try to gain your life, you'll lose it. You lose your life, you'll gain it. But we've all traded in the Creator for something created, thinking that just because you've got a nice house and a car, you made it. Now realizing if your soul ain't right, you're no different than a fish, bro, because you just got baited. Because idols, they overpromise and underdeliver. They operate by deceiving. An idol is when you look at something and say, if I have that, then I'll have meaning. And if we don't put God in His rightful place, we'll put something else there. And so we make good things God things and then go into despair. And just like Elijah called down the fire and the altar exploded into flames, no, there's only one God that comes through when you need Him, and Jesus is His name. Because when you're sick and thirsty, toilet water might be attractive, but if you got something better, bro, then toilet water looks nasty. Because an idol is dead. It doesn't live. An idol takes, it never gives. So repent, get on your knees, and admit your heart's full of diseases. Want to know what a true man looks like? Then look to Jesus.
That's good stuff. So, repeat with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's calling us to put away our idols. Man, it applies to us today. Next slide, please. Okay, so a decision within a decision. I think this is critical. It's a decision not only to follow God, but to hold fast to Him. So let me read the Joshua 22:5 quote to you. But be careful to keep the commandments and the laws that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, walk in obedience to Him, keep His commandments, to hold fast to Him, to serve Him with all your heart and soul. So, hold fast is a nautical term. I can remember the first time I saw a movie and I saw a sailor with an H-O-L-D-F-A-S-T to an old sailor tattooed on his hands. And it was, you know, what they had to remind themselves that they needed to hold fast, particularly in storms, that it was important to hold fast because you could be falling overboard or you could be dropping a line and endangering your other fellow sailors. So it's an important concept about holding fast in the storm. And in this particular verse, God is calling us to do more than just believe in Him, but also walk in His ways and serve Him and serve other people. And so I think that's the message in here. But I want to go back to the hold fast imagery. And the imagery is really beautiful to me, is that, you know, you don't have to worry about holding fast when it's a sunny day and when all is well. But when the storm comes, it's vitally important to hold fast to our Lord. I mean, that's so solid. You know, we should be holding fast in good times and bad, but many times we don't. We're human. But when that storm comes, you know. So, repeat with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus wants us in the game and holding fast to Him. Thank you. So, we're going to land this on time tonight, as Jerry says. So we're going to be out by 9. I think I'll be done in 3 minutes, maybe a little bit more. It might be 9:01, 9:02, so don't throw stones or rocks at me. I'm trying the hardest to get you out of here on time, all right? So why is this important? And here is an excerpt from a sermon I listened to recently from John MacArthur. And the title of this sermon was How to Think and Act in Evil Days. And if I see a parallel to the times that the Jewish people had many years ago and the time we're having now, they're all evil days. We live on the earth. We live in evil days, right? So let's listen to what MacArthur has to say. I think it applies here to us today. And we're going to wind it down. First, there will be rejection of the Bible as a standard. That's already happened in our country. Then morality will be turned on its head, and everybody will advocate immorality, fornication, adultery. They're all fine. Homosexual life is fine. Homosexual marriage is fine. Morality is completely turned on its head. I think we all can shake our heads so far. We're seeing this happening. Back to MacArthur. Then it calls for tolerance for that. And it turns to intolerance for the people who aren't tolerant. And then it turns to persecution. So let me read that again, because it took me 3 times the first time I read it. Then it calls for tolerance for that, and tolerance for the things we believe are immoral. And then it turns to intolerance for the people who aren't tolerant. So if you talk out against it, you're intolerant, and that'll get you persecuted. It's incredible, the insight. I love it. But I'm going back to him. Now, that's the flow. It's very likely that the world in which you live a few years after you're out of school, obviously he's talking to some graduation class or some seminary, is going to be in a world where Christians will be persecuted. They will be persecuted. And there's a danger in this. And the great danger is this is that all of a sudden the mission field, this world of dying people caught up in false religious systems, all living on borrowed time, about to perish becomes our enemy, Christian enemy. They become the enemy rather than the mission field. That's the danger. That as the hostility ramps up towards Christianity, towards Christians, it all could come from your family. Jesus said he came to bring a sword inside a family. It could come from you, your own environment. That is to say, your workplace, or whether it is, wherever it is you are, your associations, it could come. It will come from your government. It will also come from massive forces, anti-God and false religions. So the thought I want to leave you with is that when this happens, we just got to remember everything we talked about tonight in this last line. Say it with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has won the war. We're going to have an ending prayer here, and we're going to hit our way. But thank you for listening tonight, guys. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Tell them your name.
I'm Joey Hickner. I'm going to lead us in prayer.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. If you will bow your heads with me.
Can I put my arm bridge?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Sure thing. Bring it in here. Thank you so much, Lord, for just giving us the opportunity to gather here as men and just reminding us that, you know, we can come here and it's a free place to gather and we're not persecuted. Because in many places in the world, this can't happen. As Jerry's reminded us over and over, you know, the worst that we have to fear is the fear of the snare. And that's really not much compared to what's out there, Lord. And Lord, just thank you for being the same in all time and for just being that rock in our lives. And for this lesson reminding us that God, you are a jealous God and that you require our undivided attention. And Lord, I just pray that if we have any idols in our life, that you'll just bring those idols out, because sometimes they creep into our lives very subtly, and we may not even realize it. May not even realize that it's something that we worship, but that we're given more time or we're devoting more time to you than we do to you, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, I just pray that every man in this room will just be a light for you in this city and in this world, because there is a lot of darkness in the world, and you do call us to be a light for you. And just give us the strength and the courage to take your message out and spread it to the city and just have an impact for you. And it's in your precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.
Great job. Thank you. I'm going to turn off here too. Great job.